Hey, Eric.
Hey.
So, since the game, in air quotes, that we're talking about today really is four games in one.
It's four games? I've just been playing the first one.
I thought that we could do a little improv game.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I know, I do improv, you don't.
I don't.
The purpose of this game is to just say things on the fly. The first four things that come to your head. And it's usually called five things, but today I thought we would just play four things.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So, I can do four.
Yeah, I just ask you a question, tell me your top four answers really quick, and then you can ask me a question, and I'll tell you my top four answers really quick.
Okay.
All right. So, Eric, if you could have any random foods in Mario, what would they be?
Pasta.
One.
Spaghetti.
Two.
Noodles.
Three.
Cheese.
Four. Four things. Good job.
Yeah, thanks. Four. That's four.
Yeah, a lot of, you're in the Italian mode, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to have Italian food for dinner?
I'm thinking Italian food, maybe. maybe it's because I had spaghetti for lunch.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why.
Okay, so Nikki, top four Mario objects.
Oh, a brick.
One.
Tunnel.
Two.
Fire balls.
Three.
And magic mushrooms.
Four.
Four things.
I think they're just... I guess there are magical mushrooms, right?
Yeah. I mean, they make you big or small, depending on what you take. Or they give you extra life.
Or they murder
you. That's pretty magical to me. Yeah, or they murder you.
And the Lost
depending
Souls.
On which games you're playing. All right. So, Eric, tell me your top four games that are in Mario All-Stars SNES.
Mario 1.
1.
Mario Lost Levels.
2.
Mario 2.
3.
And Mario 3.
4. Woo!
Four things.
Hey, that's all the things we're going to be talking about today.
Hey,
what about that?
Wow. That was a great lead-in, Nikki.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Press Any Button, obviously. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And today we're talking about Mario All-Stars SNES.
Yeah.
Because when I was looking it up, I found a couple of different All-Stars, right?
There's
a 3D one. And is there any others?
No, I think it's just the two.
Okay.
There was a version of All-Stars that did include Mario World later on.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the version I think I saw the most. The version I saw the most was just 1, 2, 3 in the Lost Levels.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's the one I grew up with, too.
Yeah.
So were you going to go game by game for the history?
Just a little bit. I did a very short touch on each game, basically. So I'm not there wasn't a ton of stuff for All-Stars. So just 1, 2, 3, 4, and then a little bit on All-Stars itself. So.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess I'll do an intro in case someone out there doesn't know these games.
Yeah.
So Super Mario All-Stars is a 1993 platform game compilation developed and published by Nintendo for the SNES console. That's Super Nintendo console.
Thank you.
It contains remakes of four Mario games, which are Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels, Super Mario Brothers 2, and Super Mario Brothers 3.
Wow. Yeah. Such variety.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I kind of thought this was a pointless compilation because I was like, I already have all these games on Nintendo.
Really? You even had the Lost Levels?
Well, not the Lost Levels. I guess that's what you would be buying it for. Mm-hmm. But I kind of Lost Levels looked more like the original Mario Brothers. And I was just kind of like, that looks like it's not going to be as fun as you know, I just played Super Mario World, which was a huge step up for Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a huge step up for Mario 3, but I would say it was an improvement.
Yeah.
So it felt like when they released this game, it felt like they were taking a step backwards a little bit. Where I was looking,
gotcha.
I was looking forward.
Forward.
I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, keep improving on this formula.
You know, kind of like, you know, do you remember back in the day when you'd be watching a sitcom or something and they would do a whole episode that was just memories?
Oh, I hated
and
those.
And all it would be is flashbacks, and then they would just show a clip from an old episode. I always hated those so much.
Yeah, they were just so lazy. It was just
So you're kind of thinking that's what they did. Nintendo did. They were like, you know what? We don't feel like making any new games. We're just going to put some old ones together and
it's kinda,
call it a day.
It's kind of literally what they did. But at the same time, I'm like, hey, this is a good way to talk about all these Mario games without having to do like one by one. You know, we can talk about just like, you know, the four old games.
Well, what I was thinking is you don't have to get up every time you want to switch Mario games.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like the very beginning of like streaming. Just kidding. But like, yeah, you could just be lazy and play like four games and not have to get up and change cartridges.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's a ton to do on this game. And if you didn't...
That's a real upside.
Yeah, and if you didn't originally buy the old Nintendo games, if you didn't have a Nintendo, yeah, this is like a pretty freaking good deal. Because, yeah, four games in one.
So just because it's not for you, Eric, doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah, that's true. No, it was a good game. That's what I'm saying. And it's a good way to talk about these games, so... All right, so you ready to hear the stories?
I think, real quick, though, we should just say that the one that we're playing is not the actual SNES version. We're playing it on Switch, which is a little bit different, and I don't know, we can talk about that more in the pros and cons.
I mean, the main difference is, like, you can use save states. It's like it's an emulator, basically.
It's a main difference, but it is, like, a really...
It is.
Game-changing difference.
It is, yeah. Like. If you're using the save states, you don't have to use the save states. It's not a requirement.
Sure, for some people.
But it does make the game a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And it takes away that element that the first one had where it's like, if you run out of lives, like, the consequences
are dire.
Yeah, really high stakes. So it kind of takes the high stakes away a little bit.
A little bit, but at the same time, like, All-Stars kind of did that in its own way a little bit because, you know, if you think about the old, like, Mario games, they didn't really have save points between the worlds, and Mario All-Stars basically added those save points. So that game was kind of softening the difficulty of those old games anyway.
Gotcha.
So I guess the emulator softens it more, but, you know, I don't think it's that big a deal.
Cool. Well, I'm sure you were able to find plenty of history.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Just a little?
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like a lot of Mario facts and history are kind of, like, well-known, so it's one of the reasons I didn't want to, like, spend too long on, like, one specific game.
Yeah, for sure. I can get that. All right, well, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go like 1, 2, 3 lost levels, or are you gonna go in the order of how it is on the game?
I'm gonna go in the order that they were made.
Oh, okay.
So cool. 1 lost levels, 2, and then 3.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so like I said, yeah, we're talking about a compilation of 4 Mario games. I'm gonna do a little bit of each game. So starting with the original Super Mario Brothers in 1985. Did you know that that was a sequel to another game?
What? Was it like Donkey Kong?
No.
Because that's where Mario comes from, right?
Yeah, that was was his first appearance, but that wasn't the game.
Huh.
I think you probably have seen it in the arcade. It's just called Mario Brothers.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a versus or co-op game, kind of depending on how you play it. But, you know, yeah, Mario, Luigi, and basically you have a black screen and enemies kind of pop out. And your job is to basically clear the screen of enemies. So you have like the POW block in the middle, which you can use to kind of flip the enemies over, or you can get underneath them and like flip them and then just run into them.
Have I ever played this with you? Do they have this at Blue Ghost
Arcade? You've probably seen it or played it before. There's versions of it that have made appearances elsewhere. Like there's a version of it on Mario 3 that you can play. Like if you put the game on 2 players, and then one player like selects the other player, you'll basically play that game, the original Mario Brothers game.
Oh, is it the one where you like, it's very like vertical and you have all the little levels and you can jump up and down from the, okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you kind of flip
barrels
over.
Barrels and stuff.
You kind of flip over enemies and then you run into them.
Yeah, okay, I think I know what you're talking about. So Super Mario Brothers, the first one, is not actually... I guess it's the first one with Super in the title.
Yeah, so you could call it a sequel. I kind of view it more as like them expanding on the initial idea.
Like out of all of the fun facts and all the trivia I know about Mario, I've never have heard that before. Oh. So I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the original Mario Brothers, and then you have Super Mario Brothers, which is like, you know, it's not really an arcade style game. It's more like they added like.
It's scrolling. Like the first one for the console.
Yeah, and they added scrolling. That was like a big deal at the time, mm-hmm. because they didn't. The early memory they had on the game on the original Nintendo console, like it barely held any memory at all.
Yeah,
so the fact that they were able to program like a scrolling game that had all these different levels was like super impressive for the time.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it was a pretty big deal.
I personally love the distinct jumps. Video games, and now you can tell of just how stuff was getting better and better, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a few years where it's like even 1 or 2 years, you can see a huge improvement of graphics and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, massive.
And I think now we're kind of to the point where it's like, man, how does it get better than this? Like, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it will get better, I'm sure, but like,
I wonder,
it's kind of crazy.
We're like plateauing a little bit. It feels like we've been plateaued for a bit on just the graphics and gaming and all that stuff. But yeah. Anyway.
But like, even between Super Mario Brothers, the first one, and Mario 3, there's a big change.
And those were, both those games are for the same console. It's easy to forget about, about that. And then
how they were different. For the same console?
Yeah, they were both for the NES.
Wow.
So it's like, graphically, Mario 3 looks amazing compared to Mario 1.
It really does.
So it's like,
it's comparable to, I don't know. Yeah, it's really good.
They really pushed the original Nintendo, like, to its hardware limits by the end of its life. It was impressive. Okay, so, that was kind of the thing with Mario 1. Then I just going to go ahead and skip some stuff. Yada, yada, yada. It came out. It was great. Whatever. Moving forward to 1986. So Super Mario Brothers is 1985. 1986, as you probably know, Super Mario The Lost Levels is officially Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan.
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
Yeah. And then when Nintendo of America was playtesting it, they were like, you know, this is way too hard for American audiences. Like, this isn't going to, like, do well.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't want you to release it.
Yeah. Which I played it, and it is really hard. It'd be too hard for me, but I feel like I'm not the norm for the platforming like this. And I know a lot of my friends, like you and Michael and stuff, are way better at this kind of game than me.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would be too hard for.
Well, to me, what's funny about this people. Is like the game they ended up releasing, which was Yume Kojo Doki Doki Panic.
Mm-hmm.
That game is extremely hard as well.
Yeah.
Like, if you play past like the first like few worlds or whatever, it gets ridiculously hard.
That's kind of funny. They were this is too hard, but not this kind of hard.
I feel like it's at least more accessible in the first few levels, where it just doesn't like absolutely destroy you right off the bat.
Yeah.
Like the Lost Levels does, because the Lost Levels is pretty cruel right off the bat.
Yeah. It really does. They throw all kinds of things in there that just... It's just mean, almost, it seems like.
Yeah. So, that's Mario 2. And then we're going to skip forward to 1987.
What?
And this is when...
Oh, we were like 1 year old, maybe.
And this is when Nintendo decided to take what is essentially a game that already existed and reskin it as Super Mario Brothers 2. And that game was called Yume Kojo Doki Doki Panic. So...
What is Doki Doki...
That's the Japanese onomatopoeia for a heartbeat.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're like your heart beating faster or whatever.
Yeah.
So Doki Doki is that.
Because like, we did
beat,
you know, we did Doki thump, Doki thump. Literature Club, right?
Yeah.
That was a thing. Yeah. I was like, wait a second.
that was a fun fact from that. Yeah.
That is cool.
I thought that was cool. So Yume Kojo was basically a media festival in Japan organized by Fuji Television. So the original... You know, Doki Doki Panic game was like a kind of advertisement for that festival. And it starred the festival's four mascots, Imogen, his girlfriend Lena, and his parents, Mama and Papa. So those were like the original four characters that you could choose from each for each stage.
So it wasn't even originally Mario at all?
No.
It was totally...
It was okay, totally a different,
totally different game.
Yeah, so basically what they did was they went back, they took that game, and they replaced those characters with the Mario characters.
I feel ripped off. I feel bamboozled.
It's funny, yeah. And then when they...
I feel like if you played Beer Man thinking that was Mega Man, you know? And then you found out, no, it's actually Mega Man. You're like, what?
Yeah, I feel like I kind of don't hate this idea just because like the Yume Kojo Festival was like such a niche thing in Japan where it's like, okay, Americans are going to have no idea what this game like is about.
And it's a pretty good game like that needs to get out there to more people.
And it is a good game. Like it's a solid, like, I don't know. It's great. It's not like the level Mario 3, but like it's... To me, it's an improvement on the first game, actually.
I feel like making games back then was so much harder. Well, I don't know if harder, because you have different kinds of challenges now. But you had to make it difficult with such little time, basically, and such little memory and everything. So I feel like the only way to make it difficult was through like some of the stuff that I don't personally like, which is making the platforming where you have to be very precise and you have to do like jumps. And like you just can't make any mistakes, because I feel like that was one of the only things they could do to have to make you die so you can start over to make the game last kind of longer.
Yeah, the games were extremely short, so it was like the difficulty was the only way to make it so the kids didn't beat it in like 5 minutes or, you know, 20 minutes or something.
And honestly, that was one thing I always kind of hated about the games, is because I'm not very good at doing the same thing like that perfect, and so I would just have to try so many different times, and eventually I'm just like, okay, this is not fun for me, you know.
I feel like part of it too is like when you're programming and designing a game, like you are personally playing the levels that you design over and over again when you're testing them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as you're playing them over and over again, you get pretty good at it. So your instinct is to be like, okay, I need to make this like, you know, something that feels difficult for me.
Yeah.
The programmer, when I played this level like 20 times. So,
but they had like game testers back in the day, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they had some. Mm-hmm. That's a good question, yeah.
But maybe.
I know game development was a lot smaller than it is today.
Yeah, for sure.
So the budgets, like, well, I'll get into one of that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, too, the core audience back then was just people who are maybe a little more hardcore at gaming. Possibly. Like now you have more variety of gamers.
I feel like that's not... I feel like the target audience back then was kids.
Kids?
I feel like it was very much kids.
Kids can be hardcore gamers.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. But, you know.
Okay. I see. Yeah. Whatever. Maybe I'm just trying to make myself feel better over here.
Yeah. It's definitely kids, I think. But yeah, they made the games hard so the kids would struggle and then they could give tips on their helpline or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And it's on the magazines now and everything.
Yeah. It kind of made sense. So back to Mario 2, like the reskins, would substitute Mario for Majin, Princess Toadstool for Lena, Luigi for Mama, and Toad for Papa. So those were the reskin characters and where they ended up.
Wait, Princess Toadstool?
Yeah, she was called Princess Toadstool back then before they started calling her Peach regularly.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So in Mario 2, I think she's referred to as Princess Toadstool.
Yeah, that's a stupid name. No wonder they changed it. That makes her sound ugly. Like, oh, she's a toad, you know?
Yeah, I never really thought about that. But yeah, Toadstool doesn't sound very attractive. Okay, anyway, so moving forward, 1990 to 1990, Mario 3 had a team of about 10 people. Like, we're scaling things up here.
Wow.
And a budget of $1.3 million, which would be about $3.5 million when adjusted for inflation today, and took around 2 years to make.
Wow.
So we're talking about, like, yeah, more people, more of a budget.
And considering it did pretty well, like, the studio... probably was like, yeah. Heck yeah.
And then I like this, the advertising budget for it. You want to guess what the advertising budget was? Okay,
so it costs $1.3 million, you said? Yes. I'm going to guess $200,000.
The advertising budget was $25
million. What?
Which would be $69 million when adjusted for inflation.
So you said $1.3 million to make.
Yeah, it was a development budget.
And they spent $25 million.
On advertising.
So I'm mathing over here. I'm not very good at math, but like almost 20 times the amount that it would cost to make the game, they spent on advertising it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That is a lot. Is that the norm? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Mario 3 was a big game at the time. And, you know, it was like they put it in movies. Like it was in The Wizard. Like it had a cameo in that movie.
Wow.
Like it was a pretty
big deal. I mean, maybe because they wanted to make it worldwide, they were like, we're going to need a big advertising budget.
Yeah.
But like 20 times the cost of like to make the whole game, that's, I don't know, that seems crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But it worked out, clearly.
Yeah, it did work out well. So there are a bunch of additions to Mario 3, like the addition of the overworld map, to select levels, new power-ups, and the addition of slopes. I feel like people don't give enough credit to how, like, cool adding slopes were.
Yeah.
Like, that was a...
Oh, that you can... That you can slide down
and, like, walk up. That was, like... That was programming. That was pretty...
Sometimes it was a trap.
Oh, the slide.
Slide down into something. Oh.
But stuff like that. So yeah, just there were big, you know, technological advancements.
Yeah.
So by 1992, the Super Nintendo had been released. Mario World was killing it. And Miyamoto was coming off like the release of another big game, Super Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Do you remember that
game?
Okay,
so Mario World was the first one with Yoshi, right?
Yeah, Mario World was the first
one. That's the one where you have all the, like, the first levels, like, the hills, and then you cross the little bridge with the water, and then there's, like...
Oh, and what's funny about Yoshi is...
I'm trying to remember which is which, because there's so many Mario games.
But like, before Super Mario World, Miyamoto had been wanting to add a dinosaur, like, that you could ride for several games, but he just couldn't get it to work in any of the other games. So, like, it was...
I think I knew that, too, but... That's really cool. So Yoshi was just an idea waiting to happen for a while.
Yeah, he had that idea, and he's just been, like, wanting to get that into a game.
Man, that game is so good, too. I can't believe that Mario 3 and that game is made on Super Nintendo, or made for Super Nintendo.
Yeah, Mario 3 is Nintendo, and then
What's the next one? Nintendo 64 after Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like it should be a Nintendo 64 game.
Super Mario World?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it was
good.
Yeah. Just like a launch product too, which is really good. Because I think I remember getting it with the Super Nintendo when it came out. But anyway, we're not really talking about Super Mario World.
So I got sidetracked.
So yeah, 1992, we're getting into All-Stars here. So yeah, Mario World's out. It's killing it. They just released Mario Kart, which is like another big, like big deal. In fact, I hear that like Mario Kart is now a bigger franchise than the original Mario.
What?
Like it sold so many games or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just something to think about how big Mario Kart would become. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he just released Mario Kart, and Miyamoto was basically, he was looking at the release schedule and noticed there's this big gap between Mario Kart. And then they were working on Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, but they were still like years away from that release.
Well, we can't have that. They got to make money.
And Yoshi's Island would release in 1995. Mm-hmm. And basically he wanted something that would like fill the gap between those games.
And cost not a lot.
Yeah. So Super Mario All-Stars was kind of like the filler game.
But smart too, since US never got the real Mario 2.
Yeah.
You know, people want to play that, especially with the reputation. Oh, it's too hard for Americans. You know, Americans wanted to play that and be like, no, it's not. I beat it.
And it's just the brilliant aspect too of like, okay, I know not everyone has a Nintendo and they're probably going to want these games. And like, true. I can do a value pack for the Super Nintendo.
Or maybe, you know, like, oh, they might have one of these games, but like they might still buy this because you get three new games.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So yeah, Mario All-Stars was basically a value pack of the older Mario games with updated graphics and some tweaks to the game that basically made them a bit easier, like adding the ability to save your progress between worlds. Mm-hmm. And so Mario All-Stars was released in 1993 and would eventually become a pack and bundle with the SNES. It sold around 10.5 million copies by 1995, so...
That's a great bundle.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great game to bundle it with, too, because exactly. You get four games. You know, what kids wouldn't be psyched about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of one game.
Yeah. And that might be part of the reason why they ended up selling so many copies of it, though, because...
For sure.
When it's a pack and when you're buying the SNES, you're buying that game as well. So.
Yeah, it's an unfair advantage.
Yeah, it's a fun unfair advantage for its like number as far as sales go. So mm-hmm. It's going to sell a lot. Well, it probably sold a lot on its own, but there's no way to differentiate between how many they sold with the console versus how many they sold on its own.
Gotcha. Cool.
Cool. But yeah, so that's my history.
So
kind of a very brief history of all four of those games and then all.
So Mario 3 came out what year?
It came out in 1990, which is crazy because I think the Super Nintendo released in like 1991 or 1992. So Mario 3 was like right at the tail end of the NES's life. Mm-hmm. And they were still releasing games for the original Nintendo well into the Super Nintendo's lifespan. So
yeah.
So like even as far as like 1994, 1995, they're still releasing Nintendo games.
That's cool.
In fact, I remember they would have games that would release both on SNES and the original Nintendo.
Yeah.
For the people who didn't have the SNES yet. Because there were so many Nintendos out there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, you know, they wouldn't be the same game.
Well,
it'd be like...
Yeah.
It'd be like
the downgraded version.
The downgraded version would be the NES version.
Yeah.
But, okay, yeah. So that's my history. Are you ready to hear some fun facts?
Oh, yeah. But first, I want to ask you real quick.
Okay, yeah, sure.
When you were looking all this information up, how come they haven't done, like, a new All-Stars game? Well, I know they did the 3D one, but why haven't they just did an All-Stars of All-Stars and have all the 3D games, all the 2D games? Just have, like, all the Super Mario Brothers games all in one pack.
Why
haven't they done that?
I don't know. I'll drive to Nintendo and ask them tomorrow.
Okay. You might have to fly, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, they kind of did release the Mario games on the Switch with the Nintendo Online, where you're paying the yearly subscription to have access to those games through the consoles or whatever.
But the Wii games aren't on there. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, they've been slowly adding stuff to it. Like, they've recently added the N64 stuff. But yeah, they haven't added GameCube. Or have they added some GameCubes? I don't think they've added GameCube yet. Just the N64.
But anyways, I expect you to come back to me with answers.
Why they haven't made Super All-Stars.
Yeah, Super Mega All-Stars of All-Stars.
I don't know. Anyway, let's get into some fun facts.
Yeah, fun fact time.
All right, fun facts number one. So Mario All-Stars, Miyamoto fixed a number of bugs and glitches from the original game. He wanted to leave in glitches that would benefit the players, though. So there's some like infinite life glitches that are kind of like still in the game. So yeah, some glitches were left in intentionally.
Ooh, okay.
Unfortunately, one of the cooler bugs they fixed was accessing the Minus World. Do you know what the Minus World is?
I think I've seen a video of this before. Is it kind of like the Upside Down?
Yes, it is kind of like the Upside Down.
And you're like walking on the like ceiling, I guess, sort of?
No.
The top? Or everything is just inverted?
No.
I can't remember.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it's not like the Upside Down. I was just thinking like is a weird kind of state.
Yeah, I can't quite remember. I remember it's like, I don't know.
So in the original like Super Mario Brothers game, in level 1-2, you know where the warp pipes are?
Mm-hmm.
They have like world, you know, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go into any of those three.
Yes.
And you go to that world.
Yes.
Well, you can glitch through that wall.
And I think you showed me this.
Yeah. And if you get through the wall, if you get to the warp pipes before they essentially load in the world, you'll go to like world -1, basically.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to any of the other worlds. And since there isn't really code for world -1, you basically end up in this underwater loop that just never ends.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of end up soft locking. So that's, I think that's why they got rid of it, but it was just kind of a cool thing you could find.
And what's kind of an interesting, weird thing to happen. Yeah. Like unexpectedly.
And what's kind of cool about it too, is like different versions of Super Mario one, like have different versions of the Minus World. Mm-hmm. So like there's like a version for like Game Boy that came out that has a different version and stuff like that.
So depending on whatever the code was.
Yeah, and in some versions they fixed the glitch and some versions they didn't. So it's just like, yeah, just weird. So if they went more with the original code, you'd get some version, weird version of the Minus World.
So it was like a fun thing to try it on your game that you had just to see if it was one of the ones where it would work.
Well, I mean like different, like a PC release or like just different releases of the game, mm-hmm. not different as in different versions of that game, that specific game. Well, maybe, I don't know. Anyway.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I guess your friends would tell you stuff, but if you didn't know and you got a Game Boy version, you know, you could try.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
For the first time. But cool. Yeah, it wouldn't be like each individual copy would be random.
Yeah, exactly.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. So unfortunately, if they fixed the version in the Mario All-Stars, so you can't access the Minus World in that game. So fun fact number two, on some early versions of Mario All-Stars, there was a programming error that left a debug mode for the Super Mario Bros. 3 game. In the debug mode, holding select would give Mario a random different power-up, and holding A and select would give Mario the Karibo shoe.
What's that?
It's one of the power. Well, it's kind of like a power-up. It's a thing you can find later in the game. Basically, it's like these guys hopping around in these giant boot. and you can get the boot and you can go across spikes and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, yeah, you can basically get kind of like a debug version of Mario 3 where you can give yourself a power-up whenever you want.
That sounds fun.
So even if you own one of these original copies, one of these early copies of the game, there was still only like a random chance you would even get the debug mode, because each time it booted the game, like the RAM, there's like a number in the RAM that had to be like set to a specific number, and it was basically random every time you booted the game. So I forget, you'd have like maybe like a 1 in 100 chance of like booting it up and getting that debug mode. So something like that. Yeah. So if you have an old version of Mario All-Stars, you could potentially have that debug mode in the game.
That's cool.
But I don't know. You would have to also know to like hit the select button to get power-ups and stuff like that. So
do we have that?
I don't.
For Super Nintendo?
Do
we have the cartridge?
I don't think we actually do. Like I said, I didn't have it as a kid. I saw Mario All-Stars as pointless because I had, you know, three of the four Mario games. Mm-hmm. So anyway. So yeah, that's the fun fact. So
cool.
Moving on to fun fact number three.
Ooh, more.
So, again, we're going to go with the All-Stars version of Mario 3. So, you know the king transformations, right? In each of the eight worlds, well, seven worlds, they're kings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the castle, it's like the king has been transformed into something.
Yeah.
So the original Mario game, like, what the king was transformed to was different than the All-Stars version.
Okay.
Of the animal. So like in the original Mario 3 game, like in World 1, the king was like transformed into the Duck Hunt dog. In the Mario All-Stars version, he was transformed into the snake thingy from Mario 2. You know, that snake that pops out of the pipes?
Yeah.
So yeah, just different things. Like Yoshi was in the Mario All-Stars version where it was a piranha plant in the original Mario 3.
What?
So yeah, stuff like that. Huh.
That's cool.
There are other ones like, so World 4 had a random dinosaur as the king, and then Mario All-Stars had Donkey Kong Jr.
What? Okay.
Yeah, just weird stuff like that. Some things it's like, I don't know why
it's
they changed
funny.
It. Yeah.
Why not? I think maybe they knew about all the lore and the things people were going to be talking about, and I don't know. I think some of these mistakes were left in there to get people talking.
Yeah,
true. They seem to be really good at that.
True. Okay, so fun fact number four, and this wasn't really an All-Stars fun fact. This was just kind of like a thing I thought was kind of neat that I hadn't heard before. So originally Miyamoto had sketched Bowser as an ox. Did you know that?
No, I don't think I did know that.
So he sketched him as an ox, but his drawings were misinterpreted by animator Yoichi Kotabe to be a turtle.
Okay.
So the duo would then work together on the latter idea. And so, yeah, Bowser was born, and he is definitely a turtle and not like a dragon.
Gotcha. I never thought he was a turtle or a dragon, really.
Yeah, it doesn't kind of he doesn't really look like either, does he?
He just looks like his own new made up thing.
Yeah. I guess maybe it's because he's kind of a blend between an ox and a turtle, maybe.
Yes. I haven't seen that many oxen in my life. Yes, or oxen. So I'm not super sure. But I mean, he does have a shell, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
He has a shell. He's a turtle.
Yeah, that's a thing.
All right, yeah, and that's my fun facts.
Cool. Good fun facts.
Thanks.
It was probably kind of hard to find some that weren't sort of obvious.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of fun facts that people know about the Mario games that are widespread.
Yeah, I was trying to like dig a little bit. I just didn't want to do ones that like everyone already knew.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you got some cool, interesting new fun facts.
Yeah.
All right. There's not really a story to talk about with any of these games. It's like
Mario saves the princess.
Yeah. Mario 1, he saves the princess. Mario the Lost Levels, he saves the princess. Mario 2, it's a weird dream thing. And then Mario 3, he saves the princess. Mostly because Mario 2 isn't really like a Mario game. So it's
exactly.
That's why you get the weird ending for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to go into pros and cons?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. Why don't you start us off?
All right. Well, the first one for me, obviously, is the save states and suspend states that you can use on this version. And this is more maybe just a Switch Pro.
Yeah, this is more the emulator version.
But
yeah.
I don't think I would like literally be able to beat any of these games without that. I mean, maybe I could, but it would just take a lot more time than I'm willing to put into it.
Yeah, save states are super helpful when you're first learning a game, especially these yes. old games that are just like punishingly hard.
Yeah.
And like frustrating. So like,
it's like even with the save states, I still had to go in and play its stuff a bunch and everything.
Yeah.
It only made it a little bit easier.
Yeah, being able to use the save states to like practice and stuff, I feel like makes the game a lot more approachable and like fun.
I think so too, because when the stakes are so high, you're really afraid, or at least I get really afraid to make like big jumps or like make big runs with jumps and stuff like that, which the game wants you to do a lot yeah. of times. And so for me, having the suspend states and stuff kind of gave me more freedom to just try stuff and just go for it. You know, I think I actually got a little bit better at platforming and stuff because it kind of just took some of the stress off of it. For me, platforming is very stressful.
Yeah.
So to take the stress away, where I made it a lot more fun for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I agree. It's very helpful when you're learning. And the cool thing about it is when you go back and you keep playing it, eventually you get to the point where you don't need the save states anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned this before, but that's kind of how I learned how to play the Mega Man games. Was I just played them a bunch using the save states, and then I got to the point where I didn't really need the save states.
Yeah. Sort of like training.
Yeah.
Training for a marathon or something.
Exactly. So my first pro is I want to say that like Mario 3 is probably one of the greatest platformers of all time, in my opinion. So I could probably just be here all day talking about that game alone. So I don't want to, I don't want to like spend too long on all this. So I'll try to focus on more that kind of stands out with the whole
okay.
All-Stars
well,
pack.
Well, just real quick, what makes, in your opinion, what makes it the greatest?
It's the combination. Like, it's the level design. It's like, you know, that difficulty curve is like so good. The power-ups in the game evolving as you go through it and getting like new stuff. It just feels like so good working your way through, and I don't know. Yeah, it just never gets really boring.
Yeah, I agree.
So you can go ahead.
Obviously, you get 4 games in one.
Yeah, it's value.
Like, yeah, value, bundle. Especially if you're one of those people that didn't already have all the games, this for sure just would have been an awesome deal.
Yeah.
You know?
And one thing that's cool about playing them as a pack is just like seeing the progression from one game to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing that little bit of improvement from Mario Brothers 1 to the Lost Levels. Like you can see like the wheels turning with more stuff for him to do. Yeah. And then, like, I know Mario 2 isn't really a Mario game, but I even feel like you can see improvement there.
You can at least just see and appreciate how weird it is and its own little special, unique story that it has.
Yeah, and then you see even more improvement with Mario 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it's like, I feel with Mario 3, it was a big, like, here is how good you can make a platformer. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like, it's at the bar. It's at the bar for platformers for a long time.
Yeah. What's something else that you like about all these games?
So you talked about the save state feature. I feel like there was a good save feature that was added to All-Stars that maybe we didn't mention. And it was just that it saved your progress for per world. The original mm-hmm. Mario games, like you had to go all the way back. Yeah, you had to go through them all in one go in order to like beat them. Yes. Or you use the warps within the game. But yeah, you couldn't really save it. And just them being able to like save that much progress was like super helpful for the time.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, so you could like, if you only got as far as World 5 or something, you could start back in World 5 with all your lives and like keep going from there. So you could
even that is not enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was still difficult. Like, that just tells you how crazy hard those original games were. It was still difficult even saving your progress in the world. So being able to like beat it in one go was like a really tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just that little improvement was like super cool, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
What's something else you liked?
So I think this still applies to all the Mario Brothers games today, but the classic ones are classics for a reason.
Yeah.
And they're all fun, challenging, and engaging, I think. So it's like a good balance of everything.
Yeah, and one of the things I think really kind of stood out too was just how they teach you how to play the game without actually like directly telling you how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just slowly introduce like different things without you really even thinking about it.
That's my preferred way of learning how to do it.
That's kind of like a tutorial, but they don't like spell it out.
Exactly. And then every now and then they'll take something that they taught you and turn it upside down, like, ha ha. Sucka. Like, it's not gonna be like that every time, especially in the lost levels. I felt like it just stuff that they taught you in the first one,
yeah, they were
kind of like the opposite in this one. You get those mushrooms that kill you, you know, you were trained in the first one, all the mushrooms were good, like they all did something good, and then this one's like immediately you die if you get it. Or like they'll put the clear blocks, or like blocks you can't see, but once you hit them, they're there, you know?
Yeah, the invisible
and like
blocks.
Block you into a place. Or right where they know you're gonna jump, they'll put a block there because they know you're probably gonna jump at this one spot, and they'll just put an invisible block there so that you immediately go down and die. Like stuff like that, I thought it was kind of hilarious.
Lost Levels, they were definitely trolling a lot harder.
I think so.
Lost Levels was designed for people who beat the original Mario Brothers who were that good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like the Lost Levels was more like, yeah, trolling on those known, like, known things, known positive things.
But I really did enjoy the Lost Levels. I had never really played all of them all the way through, and I beat the game this time, so I really liked it.
Cool. Yeah, it's great.
You got something else?
Yeah. So for me, I just love all like the weird secrets and glitches in these games.
Mm-hmm.
Like back when I was a kid, I would feel like a total badass, you know, showing someone like a secret power up or a warp, a warp whistle was or something cool like that. It's like, you know, if you hold down on this white block, you can fall to the other side and it'd be like, whoa. Uh-huh. And then you can run through the rest of the stage and grab this whistle or something. It was just so cool.
Especially in Mario 3 with the tail where you can fly.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's so much hidden stuff up in the sky and everything because they knew a lot of people probably wouldn't spend all their time up in the sky, but they knew some people would. And then they would talk about it, and then, you know, and then you have to go and do and see what's up. Like, I don't know. I just remember the flying was a cool way to usually find something cool.
Yeah, and that was
especially in areas where it didn't really look like you could fly, but if you had even just enough space to get the run going, you know,
well, sometimes
you can get up there.
Sometimes you have to go and do the back and forth run where you run this direction then run this direction.
Oh yeah, I'm not like, good at that.
And try to keep your like speed up enough where you can get the P speed.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. The pee speed. That sounds funny. Like, oh, I gotta pee.
That's what it's called for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure why. Pee is in
these,
past.
These games are just so good too because they're just very nostalgic, especially for us.
That's true.
You know, these came out around the time we were born and a little after, so we were pretty young. And, you know, it just takes you back to a simpler time.
Yeah.
Before you were worried about bills and, you know, all the grown-up stuff.
Before you could look up all this stuff on the internet and you just had to rely on word of mouth and what you could figure out in the game.
Yeah. I remember playing the first one with my dad and brother and stuff too, and I always thought it was something cool that like adults could get into and kids could get into.
Yeah,
and you could do it together because not a lot of stuff I feel like back then was adult and kid friendly. You know, I had to watch a lot of my dad's shows and stuff, and then I was like, these are so boring, you know, stuff like that. But
yeah, that's cool. Something to bond over, because for most kids, it's going to be way too hard for kids. So it's like,
oh, for sure.
So they're going to go to their parents and be like, hey, can you help me with this? And they're going to be like, they're going to try, and it's probably going to be too hard for them too.
Exactly. Oh my God.
So, my last pro is just like the music is another standout from the series. Like, it's crazy to think about just how iconic, like just the level 1-1 music from the original Mario Brothers is, or even the level 1-2 music, like where you go in sewer and get the da 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 da.
Oh yeah. There's so like many songs I can hear the first two notes and know what exactly what song it is, you know?
But like, yeah, just the fact that the music is like, you know, persists on so much, just like goes to show how good it was.
Yeah. We actually played the sound bit for when you beat a level. You know, it's like da 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 da. You know that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, remember we played that at our wedding?
At our wedding, yeah.
After we kissed for the first time as husband and wife.
That was the one video like you wanted someone specifically to record.
Yeah. It went perfectly with our game-themed wedding and... You know, we did level up that day. And then lastly, for me, I love that they're all two-player games because I think they knew a lot of people would have siblings and stuff. Or even if you didn't have siblings or play with your parents, you know, you want to be able to have your own thing. Yeah, you don't want to just like pass off the controller and play the same character. You want to have your own game,
your own lives.
So I like that they all have two players, right? The second one have two players also.
I believe so.
So you can play with your friends and stuff, or your brother, sister, whatever.
Well, actually, I'm trying to remember if Mario 2 had two players or not. I forget. I know, yeah, at least one, the Lost Levels, and 3 did.
Yeah, I didn't play Mario 2 as much as the first one and the third one, and then Mario World and stuff, but it's always just fun to break out the Nintendo games. Even if you're at a party and you are just handing the controller off at this point, since, you know, almost everyone's played it.
Yeah, true.
It's like even fun just to do that.
Yeah, so. Just pass the controller.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get into the cons.
All right.
What's something that you didn't like?
I feel like the cons would be different if I had to play this on SNES.
Yeah, probably. Would it be like, would the difficulty be a con?
The difficulty would be too hard for me personally. Even with the save states, there's some parts that took me so many tries to get. I just, knowing me and my patience for stuff, I don't think I would have been able to beat it without that. But that being said, the only real con I have is some of the controls, and this could be our controller, I'm not sure, but some of the controls were a little glitchy. I felt like sometimes I would press jump and I wouldn't jump.
Yeah.
And it's like, I for sure pressed it, not like, oh, I did that, I swear. It was like, it happened multiple times where I was running and I pressed the jump button and then I would just fall right into whatever I was running towards. And I was like...
Some of that could be actually the television itself, because if it's not like on a game mode, the refresh rate for televisions, at least modern televisions, tend to be a little bit behind.
Really?
So it might just be actually changing the television itself to fix that.
Oh. Well, for did you have that issue?
I mostly played it in handheld mode, so I didn't have it connected to a TV most of the time I was playing it. So I didn't really have that issue.
Okay, so I guess that's really not a part of the game. Or
I mean,
whatever,
it could be, but yeah. I mean, like I said, it sounds like a refresh rate issue for the TV.
Okay.
I need to check
that
TV.
That was really the only thing. It didn't really glitch on anything else or freeze up or anything like that. So, yeah, I don't really have a lot of cons for these other than it was probably, like, be really hard.
Yeah.
If I was playing on SNES, but I'm not, so.
Yeah,
no
I don't.
No cons.
I don't really have a ton of cons either. Like, I kind of pointed out already that, like, as a kid, I didn't see the point because I already had all those games. Mm-hmm. And then the lost levels look closer to the original Mario Brothers, so I wasn't really super interested because I wanted to, like, I was looking forward at that point.
Yeah.
Going back, the Lost Levels is pretty good. Like, to me, it sits between 1 and 2, like, as far as, like, how good I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely, like, an improvement, but, like, yeah, not a huge step forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty much my only con, really.
Cool.
Yeah.
I definitely don't like Mario 2 as much as the other ones. It's still pretty fun, though.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it as a kid,
too. It doesn't have quite the same feel vibes. Like, you can tell even before I knew that all the history, you could just tell something was off about it that wasn't, you know.
Yeah, I still thought, like, as a kid, I thought it was a huge improvement because, like, there were doors you could go through, there mm-hmm. were, like, different sections, like, that you could scroll up.
Yeah,
like, that was a big deal. Like, you could pick stuff up and throw it. Like, there were different, like, things that, like, definitely weren't in the original mm-hmm. Mario that felt like a big improvement.
And I do like the fact that you can choose your character and the different characters have different, not super different things, but they have slightly different.
Yeah.
Kind
of so Mario is like kind of the standard character. Peach she has that little bit of a float.
Mm-hmm.
Luigi has the extra high jump where he kind of like, he also has this weird kind of floaty jump where he doesn't fall quite as fast.
Yeah.
And then Toad, he picks things up faster. Yeah, it's kind of a weaker jump, but he picks things up faster.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, I kind of just like playing with Mario through the game. But as a kid, I liked Peach just because he had that extra hover, and that extra bit hover would definitely save your butt.
Oh, yeah. So if you're going to rank the four games, so I think I would go top Mario 3, and then Mario 1, and then Lost Levels, and then Mario 2. How would you do it?
I would do 3-2-1 and then Lost Levels, probably.
Oh, 3-2-1. So yeah. You really did like the second
one. Yeah, I thought the second one was good. Like, okay. Like I said, I thought there were, like, pretty good improvements.
Yeah.
Between that and the original Mario Brothers.
If you're listening, what's your rank order between Mario 1, 2, 3, and Lost Levels? How would you How would you order it?
That's a good question.
Yeah. All right. So do you want to do strategy? I feel like, like, what kind of strategy can you have with these other than play the stuff over and over again?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Know? Patience and persistence. They go a long way.
Yeah. Have fun.
If you find the approach that works for you, like, maybe it's not how other people play it, or maybe it's not how the game is designed or the level mm-hmm. is designed, but
exactly.
If you can get something consistently that works with how you play it, that's great. That's what you're going for. And you can stay alive. The main thing is you don't die over and over.
The main thing is just have fun. So whatever is fun for you, just do that.
Yeah. And like I said from earlier, I do recommend save states just because, like, you're gonna get frustrated if mm-hmm. you don't, especially nowadays.
I feel like maybe limiting yourself to just the All-Stars states is probably a good self-control thing if you're trying to not take advantage of the suspense states like I did and use like every 30 seconds basically.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like if I wanted to go back and really try, that's probably what I would do.
Do it based on the world
instead of just trying to go totally old school and do it all at one time.
Yeah, it's tough. It's one of those, like, if you played it enough, you'd get good mm-hmm. get enough to, like, be able to beat it one go, I think.
Yeah, I'm happy that games are more accessible now for all different kinds of gaming types, and If you want to be a nice, relaxed gamer, you can be. If you want to just be play the hardest games out there and, like, do everything the hardest, you can.
Yeah,
I
agree.
If you want to be something in the middle, like me, you can.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot of choices, and I'm happy for it.
I like that, making games for all difficulties or all player types and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I agree.
I feel like almost everybody out there can find a game that they like now. And most people do, even if it's just a game on their phone. Like, almost everyone I know plays some kind of game.
Yeah.
Even if it's just Wordle.
Yeah.
So, for the future, Eric, would you... Do you want to just talk about Mario, the Mario Brothers in general?
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Yeah, me too.
Because, like, the news on, like, a new Mario game has been pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the most recent...
As far as Mario Brothers games go.
Oh, I was about to say the most recent game Mario is in is Mario Kart World.
Mm-hmm.
I beat it recently. It's pretty freaking good, in my opinion.
Yeah, but not really a Mario
but
game.
But yeah, not a classic platformer style game. So I would go back to, I guess, Odyssey would be for the original Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the most recent 3D one. Mario Wonder would be the most recently, like, 2.5D or 2D one.
Yeah.
So, and those games are pretty old. I heard a rumor in February that they were going to announce something Mario game-like, so, or maybe adjacent.
Yeah, there's, like, a
something.
Few rumors. I know people really want a new 3D Mario game, and they think Mario Odyssey. They think maybe there's, like, a second one will come out or something.
Mario Odyssey 2, that'd be good.
I think that's what I saw, or maybe Galaxy. Is Mario Galaxy a thing?
Yeah, so Mario Galaxy is the movie that's getting ready to come
out. That's it. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, so yeah, I think it was Odyssey 2 that people were hoping would be announced.
Yeah.
But yeah, a new 3D Mario game. But what has been announced for sure, February 12th, Mario Tennis Fever... A new Mario Tennis Fever game comes out.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I missed that.
Yeah. And then what do you got?
That's it. Just the Mario movie. It's set to be released April 1st, so.
Oh, well, I have one other one.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers Wonder is supposed to be getting a Switch 2 update.
Oh,
and they're
going
to add some content, add some stuff for it.
So we already have that game. So
yeah,
we'll get
that is
that.
March 26th, I think. So.
Nice.
Yeah, so one new game, an update, and then, Super Mario Brothers movie, the sequel, which is going to be called Super Mario Galaxy movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's April 1st.
Yeah.
April Fools. Just kidding. But that is kind of a funny day to release it.
We're releasing it, psych.
And I want to go see it. And we will go see it, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll see it.
So, Eric, you're probably wondering, did I beat 2 out of the 4 games?
Yeah, I was wondering that. I think I know the answer, but...
What do you think the answer is?
I think the answer is yes with an asterisk.
Yeah. So I did beat Mario 1, or whatever, and I guess you don't call it Mario 1, you just call it Super Mario Brothers, but whatever.
Mario 1's fine.
And then the Lost Levels... And then I got pretty far in Mario 3, but I didn't beat it yet. And then Mario 2, I didn't. I only played it a little bit. I didn't really like it that much. Also, it might have had more fun if we did two-player, because some of the game mechanics and stuff, I was just kind of clueless on.
Mario 2 is a little bit weird. They said picking up items, picking up enemies is pretty big.
Yeah, like being able to like jump on those eggs in the air and
yeah.
pick them up.
And then
you
throw
don't
them back.
Do anything like that in the other Mario games. So it was kind of weird. But
yeah,
I did beat them.
Okay.
But you know what? Since I used the suspend states so often.
Yeah.
I do feel like. I should just rap anyway, because if it was 1990, whatever, I would not have been able to beat these. Even with the All-Star States, I don't think I would have been able to beat them. So
yeah,
I'll rap anyways, just to make me feel less guilty, I guess.
All right. Well, I'll rap with you, too, just
what?
Just because you. I feel like you did beat it, you know?
And we're are two players. Yeah. It's a two-player game. We got to have a two-player wrap.
It would have been good enough for me, in my opinion, but, you know, if it's not good enough for you, I totally understand.
Yeah. The guilt, you know, the guilt.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, yeah, we'll just both wrap, because why not? It's our podcast. We all do right. what we want.
All right. Let's do it. They call me Birdo, I'm a big pink hoe. My beauty's in my nose, just like William Dafoe. Got no coins, got no dough, with the eggs I let it flow. I split them just to say hello, I've been drinking all Merlot. I've been eating spicy foe, now I'm shooting on turbo. I could throw you with my toe, or shoot an egg that's way too low. With these moves you're going slow, I've been putting on a show. All systems go, it's Mario, I'll die more times than Danny Trejo.
We are saving the princess from a real bad guy. Don't ask us, we don't know why. We were eating pie, and then out of the sky, we heard a cry, like, oh my, my. But Luigi and I, we don't lie, but we had to pry. Bowser is nigh, this won't fly. We kick you high, two brothers defy. If you ain't shy, look us in the eye. I gotta imply, this is the end. Bye. Wow, good job, Eric. Wow,
yeah, thanks. Good job yourself.
Whatever. Oh, that was a very silly, rap that I wrote.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
And apparently it was a weird length. You let me know that I went over the loop. Or something.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you ended kind of a weird spot, but, you know, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, and I don't pay attention to that stuff. I do what I want.
Like, I'm going to write an odd number of lines in the middle of a thing. It doesn't matter.
I'm so bad. Oh. All right. So, anyways, moving on. Eric, what game do you think I might pick? Any ideas?
Pilot Wings. Yeah.
I have no idea what even that is.
Yeah, that's why.
Is that a real game?
Yeah, it's a real game. It's for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, wait. Did Michael pick that for a party we had one time?
Yeah, for a video game tournament.
Oh, I hated that game. You couldn't have the controls not be inverted. Right, yeah. And yeah, y'all know how I feel about that.
That was the 64.
I would
version.
Never pick that game, ever.
James Bond, GoldenEye. Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a hint. You want a hint?
We played it recently.
Kind of.
Okay, what's another hint?
We played a game within this franchise, I would say.
Oh, was it is it a Lego game?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. We're gonna play a Lego game.
Oh, nice.
Well, we just played Lego Horizon.
Horizon Zero Dawn, yeah.
But we already beat it. So, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And so I was like, we haven't done a co-op game, I feel like, in a while. Know, we played together.
And you never played any of the Lego games before that, right?
So. No, and it was super fun. So I went through our catalog, and we actually have quite a few Lego games in there that we got for free from the PlayStation Plus monthly Game Pass.
All right.
So when I picked it, was
trying to remember which
Lego
games we had.
Lego
Star Wars.
Okay, there
yeah,
you
nice.
Go.
Hey.
Lego Star Hello. Wars, the Skywalker Saga, in case there's more than one of them out there. But
there are. I think there are actually a bunch of Lego Star Wars games. So.
Okay. Well, this is the Skywalker Saga, and I think it goes through like the original 9 movies.
Oh wow.
So
that's crazy.
All in one game is what it says on the title screen.
Nice.
So our challenge, this is sort of a challenge for both of us.
Okay, cool, yeah.
But the second part is just for you. So the first part of the challenge is beat the game with me.
Yeah. Wow.
It'll be February while we're playing this. The podcast will probably come out in March, but you know, February is the month of love.
That's true.
So we're going to do this co-op game. So we're going to beat the game, hopefully. And then the second part of the challenge is you have to get the trophy Jedi Business.
Okay.
And this sounds hilarious. If you can record it, try to. But You have to use Jedi mind tricks to make five people fight simultaneously in the cantina. I don't know how you do this. I just looked at the trophy list on the PlayStation site or whatever. But it just sounds funny. You have to make five people fight all at the same time with your Jedi mind tricks.
That sounds hilarious.
And I think that sounds like a one person thing. So I was like, okay, beating the game will be with me.
Watch that be like a major objective part of the game in order to get through it.
That would be funny. But it sounded like a side thing that you could do. So I was like, okay, this is kind of like a good challenge.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, we'll see everybody next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Like this episode, please engage with us somehow. Leave a review, leave a comment, rate us, whatever you can do on the apps these days. It all helps to get us recognized by other people, which is super fun. So anyways, thank you guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye.